There Are Other Worlds Than These, written by Meta Van Horst, read by Maggie Jolly. Summary: Day 14 of 31 Days of Love, Parallel Universes. Ed and Steed wake up in a void full of endless doors. Where do they lead? The light was so bright that it hurt Ed's eyes at first. The space seemed endless, a yawning expanse of dazzling white void, punctuated only by the hundreds, thousands maybe, of colorful doors of all shapes and sizes. What was this place? How did he get here? Ed, a voice called out from behind him, is that you? He turned around to see Steed, looking as confused as he felt, and relief washed over him like a wave. Yeah, it's me, he replied, moving to take Steed's hand. Where the hell are we? No idea, said Steed. Maybe we got here through one of these doors? Ed looked around dubiously. There's a lot of doors here, Steed, he said carefully. Should we try to narrow it down a bit first? That would probably be best, yes, said Steed. They wandered the halls for minutes that seemed like hours, never encountering an endpoint, at least that they could see. There didn't even appear to be a ceiling here. If it weren't for the fact that the ground felt solid enough beneath his feet, Ed might have wondered about the state of the floor as well. After a few more minutes of this, Ed was starting to get bored. Look, I know I was the one who said we should narrow it down first, he said, but none of these doors are looking familiar at all. You want to just start trying some? Asked Steed. See where they lead? May as well, said Ed. I'm not seeing any other way out of here. They came to a stop in front of a pale yellow door and looked at each other askance. This one, do you think? Steed said. It's as good a door as any, said Ed. He reached for the handle, found it unlocked, and yanked it open. Sound, loud as nearly any they had ever heard, filled the space immediately. The booming drums and echoing strings setting their teeth on edge. They peered in for a closer look. A glittering ball of light hung from the ceiling over a large, round, flat track as beams of brightly colored light sliced through the crowd. Those assembled within the perimeter of the flat oval appeared to be wearing some kind of special shoe Ed had never seen before, a short-looking boot with two wheels on each side. They rolled on the boots in a circle, some more quickly and confidently than others, but all were laughing and having a good time either way. Ed tapped Steed's arm urgently and pointed at a pair of skaters that had just caught his eye, his stomach swooping with confusion and excitement. Steed, is that? Ed asked, trailing off in stunned disbelief. He felt Steed freeze next to him when he spotted who Ed was pointing at. They were a good 20 years younger, but the resemblance was uncanny. Us? Steed finished in a hushed whisper. They watched in awed silence as the young doubles rolled closer to them, bobbing along to the sound of the music? The Steed in the door seemed wobbly, unsure of himself on the rolling shoes, while Ed glided along as smoothly as if he were born to them. So that's what you looked like as a kid, said Ed. I knew you were always cute. What on earth are we wearing? Steed asked, looking vaguely scandalized by the sight of his young doppelganger's bare legs, sticking out of the bottom of a perilously short pair of small yellow trousers, the brown jacket tied around his waist doing little to conceal the vast amount of exposed skin. I don't know, but that's a great look on you, Ed said with a teasing nudge. You don't look half bad yourself, said Steed, smiling, and you seem like you're pretty good at whatever it is you're doing there, with the wheelie shoes. Of course I am, said Ed, puffing out his chest a bit. I'm good at everything, Steed snorted. They watched as their doubles, so young and yet so obviously them, laughed and held each other tight as they lapped around the large, flat oval a few more times on their wheelie shoes, painted technicolor by the streaks of light that seemed to come from everywhere. This doesn't look like the way home, said Steed, his eyes going soft when the Steed from inside the door slipped on his wheelie shoes and his Edward caught him in his arms with all the fluid grace of a dancer, their mutual yearning for one another obvious even at the distance. But it's nice all the same. Yeah, said Ed, eyes crinkling fondly, it is. Ed shut the door and looked at Steed, who gazed back at him in misty-eyed wonder. Do you think that all of these doors? Asked Steed, gesturing around, hovering on the verge of overcome. All of them are us? Ed was on fire with excitement. It was them. All of it. Every door in this place held a different Ed and Steed. They were everywhere. What other dams could they see? Only one way to find out. Ed waggled his eyebrows at Steed and took off running in search of another interesting door to try. They tried a ruggedly carved pine door next. This looks like the woods, said Ed, so that's probably not the way home. Pretty lake, though, said Steed. Hey, look, there we are, we're swimming, and we're... Oh. Best give them some privacy, I think, said Ed, pushing the door shut with a grin. The next door was rounded at the top and festooned with elaborate wooden scrollwork. Dad, Mary, asked Steed, wrinkling his brows in confusion. Why is she giving me a rose? Not this door, said Ed gruffly, pausing just before he closed it to watch their doubles share a sidewise glance hot enough to melt glass. The door they tried after that looked like the door of a church. Am I crying? Steed said, stricken. This looks like a funeral. Oh God, Ed, where are you? There I am, said Ed, pointing at a pew in the very back. The Ed of this door was radiating calm reassurance as he met Steed's eyes from up at the pulpit, trying to rein in his tears, looking at Ed as if he were the answer to his prayers. Each new door held within it an entire baffling, fascinating world full of promise, delight, heartbreak, humor, tenderness, and always, always love. They were writers and poets. They were artists and models. They were actors and singers. They were teachers and students, and knights and princes. They were shopkeepers, zookeepers, beekeepers. They were bartenders, lumberjacks, athletes, scientists, farmers, and theater ushers. There was even one door where they sat at a desk in front of some very bright lights and read news stories from a piece of glass for some reason. A thousand, thousand different places and times, nearly all from what felt like distant futures. And in every single one of these worlds, they had still managed to find one another. By the time Ed closed what felt like the 100th door, Steed was sobbing openly, and Ed's own face was stamped with tears. Ed wrapped Steed up in a tight embrace, cradling the back of his head with his hand as he leaned his forehead against his, overwhelmed with emotion. Do you think this was always supposed to happen? Ed asked in amazement. With us? How could it not? Steed replied, his voice coming out in a ragged whisper around the lump in his throat. Just look at this place, Ed. Ed took Steed's face in his hands, wiping his tears away with his thumbs and placed a soft kiss on his lips. Steed melted against him, looping his arms around his waist and clinging to him tightly. When they parted, there was a shadow over them that had not been there before. They looked over to find a new door that had appeared next to them, a familiar door, the door to the captain's quarters of the Revenge. They wound their fingers together, took a final look around at this space, at this undeniable testament to the power of their bond, and returned, hand in hand and smiling through happy tears, their own worlds.